Our scripture reading this evening is from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1. And we start reading at verse 29. Now at Mountain View, we're moving through the Gospel of Mark. So once in a while in this sermon, I refer to the previous passage, and that's because we're in part of a series. But I think it will be clear enough for you when you hear the message. Hear God's word. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was, the Word of God. Let's pray. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through your Spirit, may each one of us hear a better sermon than the one preached. Will you forgive what is wrong in the message, what is weak? And Lord, will you bless what is good, and will you bless it to the hearts of each one of us? And may it be that through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, that each one of us may be encouraged in hope, faith, and love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. People loved by God. Before I was quite a teenager, you know, I sometimes resented the community that I was part of. I resented associating with the same friends on Sunday that I went to school with through the whole week. You know, sometimes I resented the same group of friends my parents had, and they would come over on a Sunday evening, and they would always try to engage me in conversation, and I didn't want to talk. I mean, I resented sometimes being made to go to the annual Christmas program year after year after year. The same choir, the same members, only a year older, singing the same pieces from Handel's Messiah. Sometimes I just wish I could leave the community that I was part of. I think that's natural. Now, community is important. On the opening pages of Scripture, we read that God saw that it was not good for the man to be alone. And God created a partner for Adam. It's also true that it's not good for a person to be alone. I mean, when we're with others, and maybe you've experienced this, You're talking to someone who you just met. And in your conversation, you discover that this person struggles with some of the same fears that you do. You discover that this person likes some of the same things you do. And you discover a kindred spirit. And it delights your soul. I mean, within a community, a person discovers who he, she is. A person discovers his, her gifts. After presenting a speech to her grade 7 class, her classmates came to her and high-fived her, saying it was a great speech. They told her that the way she developed her speech, they were sitting at the edge of their seats in suspense. I mean, she discovered that she enjoyed public speaking. Can you imagine? She discovered that she was good, that it was a gift that God had given her. Think of your own lives. It is within a community that a person discovers who he, she is, what their gifts are. It is within a community that a person discovers that there's life after failing. I mean, after talking to his bank manager and telling his wife and family that his company was placed in receivership, the phone rang. It was a friend. He answered it. The friend said, "John, I'm sorry to hear about your company. No. That you are a true friend, far more than a CEO of a company. I care deeply for you." And there were more such phone calls. Within a community, a person discovers that there is life after failing. Within a community, a person learns to contribute, to forgive, to receive forgiveness and mercy. All reports indicate that being part of a community is good for a person's physical, spiritual, and emotional health. You know, our scripture passage is primarily about sickness. Simon's mother-in-law was sick. All the people from the town came with their sick to Jesus. Sickness removes a person from community. You know, let me give an illustration. A rather young man, 40. Was diagnosed with a debilitating disease. He could no longer go out and work. He lost a significant part of his self-identity. When friends came over, they avoided the topic of work and some other topics. Conversation was hard. Friends slowly stopped coming. I mean, at church, after the worship service, he discovered how often people talk about their busy lives. And his life wasn't busy. He felt left out. Sickness removes a person from community. In some sense, sickness puts a person in bondage. You know, a few weeks ago, I preached about the previous passage. And I said at that time that Jesus is the promised one who is greater than Moses. I said that Jesus is leading an exodus. Jesus is leading people from bondage into the kingdom of God. Jesus is leading people from bondage into a new way of living. Let's look at today's scripture reading. Jesus, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, after being at the synagogue, after Jesus teaching there, they go to Simon and Andrew's house. Simon's mother-in-law is sick with a fever, lying in bed. And when you and I hear that, some of us are thinking, well, what's the big deal? She has a fever. You know, in Jesus' day, before the time of antibiotics, a fever was life-threatening. She may have been laying in bed for weeks. Learning of her condition, Jesus goes to her. Jesus reaches out his hand and helps her up. Literally, in the Greek, it says Jesus lifted her up. It's the same word that the angel spoke to the women at the tomb, Mark 16, verse 6. Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is lifted up. Jesus lifting up. Simon's mother-in-law is the first resurrection story in the gospel according to Mark. We read that the fever left her and she began to wait on them. She began to serve them. Now some, when they hear this, they cringe, thinking, Jesus heals her so that she can prepare a meal and serve it so that Jesus can eat. There's enough men there that could have prepared the meal. You know, Jesus doesn't need Simon's mother-in-law to prepare a meal. Later, with two pieces of fish and five loaves of bread, Jesus feeds a crowd well over 5,000 people. And I'm asking you to read this passage graciously, and not to impose our contemporary values on the way the people lived in Jesus' day. Jesus and the four followers were in the house of Simon and Andrew. It was a household. This household, all under one roof, consisted of the extended families of Andrew and Simon. It consisted of numbers of generations. It was a large group of people. And Simon's mother-in-law, in this large community, she cooked meals and served meals. It was her place in that community. It was what gave purpose to her life. It was what brought joy into her life. And she was sick. She was, because of the sickness, outside of the community. Jesus, by lifting her up, by healing her, places her back into the community, back where she receives life. Jesus is leading an exodus from bondage to life, to community. And the news spreads. And by evening, at sunset, because it's the Sabbath, the people wait. But when the Sabbath is over, they all come with their sick to Jesus. And Jesus heals them, restoring them to their community. Jesus is leading an exodus from bondage of sickness into community, into life. Now this scene points forward to the cross. On the cross, Jesus defeats death and everything associated with death, sickness. In the words of Peter Sherman, on the cross, Jesus redeems that which is written, hurt, and dying. This scene in Capernaum points forward to that day, when Jesus comes again. And on that day, everyone will see what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And on that day, there is no more death, no more sickness, no more mourning, no more pain. Maranatha, come quickly. You know, but I'm curious. I'm curious about that time when Jesus comes again and today. In the previous passage, Jesus called Simon, Andrew, James, and John to follow him. Jesus calls us, the Church of Christ, to follow him. And I wonder, how do we faith fully follow Jesus in regards to healing the sick? How do we faithfully follow Jesus in regards to healing the sick? You know, throughout her history, the church has been engaged in healing the sick. In the settlement of Canada, first in Montreal, Quebec City, and moving westward as the people, European settlers, moved westward. It was the church. It was religious orders, women of the Catholic Church, setting up and running hospitals. It was the Protestant churches, primarily the Church of England, moving with the people as they settled westward, building and establishing churches, healing the sick. Today, parachurch organizations build and run hospitals in developing countries. A Mountain View. We heavily support the healing ministry of Grimsby Life Center, of the healing ministry of Charlene. Throughout her history, the church is engaged in healing the sick with provincial funding of health care. The extent of that ministry by the church has become restricted. Today, we primarily provide Christian counseling for those who are struggling with mental illness. So I wonder, how does the church, how do we faithfully follow Jesus in regards to healing the sick? You know, as long as I can remember, churches, particularly Pentecostal churches, have held healing services. For some denominations, that is not true. I mean, John Calvin taught that miraculous healing stopped with the death of the last apostle. You know, we've had healing services at Mountain View. Physical, emotional, and spiritual healing took place. Healing services is a legitimate ministry of the Christian church. But after a healing service, most of our lame still limp. Most of our deaf still sign. Those who are oppressed by destructive forces still try to cope and seek help. So I wonder, how do we faithfully follow Jesus in regards to healing the sick? Now, Jesus was leading an exodus, leading people out of bondage into the kingdom of God, leading people out of bondage into community, into a new way of living. Earlier I said that when a person is part of a Christian community, congregation, it is good for that person's physical, spiritual, and emotional health. One congregation, covenanted as a community of Christ to include their sick in their church community. And this is what they covenanted to do. And I quote, "When our lame limp, we will slow our gait to walk together. When our lame limp, we will slow our gait to walk together. When our deaf sign, we will sign back to communicate. When our oppressed seek help, we will find space for counseling, for meetings, for ways to live in hope. For those who are too far gone physically to walk, too far gone mentally to converse, too far gone psychically to engage, we will gather at their door so that they will not be alone. We will gather at their door so that they will not be alone." Friends, faithfully following Jesus' command to heal the sick begins by including the sick in our church community. When the church includes the sick, the lame, the deaf, those oppressed by destructive forces, the aged, these people are lifted up, healed. When the church includes in its community the sick, the lame, the deaf, those oppressed by destructive forces, the frail, the aged, the church community is lifted up, healed. On the cross, Jesus redeems that which is ripped, hurt, and dying, healing, physical, emotional, and spiritual takes place in the community of saints. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We sing together.